There are phrases running through the Word of God that strike the ear, that gleam to catch the eye. These simple words, when Jesus saw their faith, ring out as clear and startling as a cry. He saw their faith, the one thing he required, before he granted what their heart desired. When Jesus saw their faith, the lame arose, and darkened eyes were given sudden sight. The dead were quickened into life again, and hearts bowed down with sorrow were made light. Because of that white inner burning flame, he changed the world for everyone who came. Lord, Lord, I too have faith. Behold the fire that burns in me, and grant my heart's desire. These words in the poem, When Jesus Saw Their Faith, come from a dear, dear friend of my family. She was the poet laureate of Texas in the first half of the 20th century. Her name was Grace Noel Crowell. She was a well-known poet. In fact, she was also a dear friend of my family. She was the next-door neighbor and fellow Sunday school member of my great-aunt Lucy's class down at University Park United Methodist in Dallas, Texas. She gave every one of the books that she wrote to my great-aunt, and my great-aunt gave them to me. Each one is inscribed with words of comfort, and this comes from a book entitled Songs for Comfort, a poem that speaks about Jesus, as in today's lesson, seeing their faith and answering their prayer. Their faith, my friends, and answering their prayer. Today's story from the Old Testament about Naaman and his illness, his leprosy, is also a story about faith. Naaman didn't know that. Naaman was a great ruler. He's a great soldier. He was a great man of war. He wasn't an Israelite. He wasn't a child of the people of Israel. He wasn't a Hebrew of Hebrews. He wasn't a person who you would expect to receive God's grace or God's mercy or God's favor. He wasn't anybody special in the people of Israel. In fact, he was an enemy of the people of Israel who went out to war against the Israelites. And in fact, had taken spoils, a young servant girl, to serve his wife in a previous raid. This soldier, this enemy of the people of Israel, had leprosy. He was suffering from a skin disease that literally rotted away his flesh. And Naaman's servant girl, the Israelite who had been captured and taken away into slavery, knew that if he were to go to Israel, God, and seek healing from God, God, her God, would heal him. And so Naaman went to his king and told him this. And his king wrote him a letter to take with him to the king of Israel. And Naaman goes to the king of Israel taking a ton of money, a fortune in silver and gold and clothing. And he gives the letter to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel tears his clothes in dismay. I'm not a god. I cannot heal people. And now this king of Aram is trying to stir up trouble between us by sending his chief soldier for me to heal, and I can't do it. And Elisha hears the king's cry and hears that the king has torn his clothing in despair and says, hey, don't do that. Send them to me so that this Naaman will know that God has a prophet in Israel. And so Naaman's chariots and horses and his entourage pull up in front of Elisha's house. And Elisha doesn't come out himself. He sends a servant out. And the servant tells Naaman, You go over to that muddy Jordan River and you wash in it 7 times and you will be healed. And Naaman, great soldier that he was enraged. You see, Naaman was looking for magic. Naaman was looking for Elijah to come out and to pray a big, lauding prayer over him to his Lord and his God, and to then wave his hand over Naaman's flesh and to heal him with a magical incantation, you know, hocus pocus, zippity zap, you're healed. Naaman was not looking for faith. Naaman was looking for magic. Just like many of us today look for magic, not faith. Naaman was looking for magic. He was looking to be healed, yes. He was looking to be cured, but he had a particular way of expecting to be cured. He had a particular expectation about how he would be cured. And here he was, a great military soldier. He expected to get the good treatment. I come all this way. I expect to see the healer himself, not his servant coming out to tell me what to do. We got two rivers in Damascus, bigger and deeper and better than these. I could have bathed in them, he said. I didn't have to come all this way to bathe in the muddy Jordan River. And so he stomps off in rage, angry at the idea that he wasn't going to get to see a magic trick. Angry at the idea that what he expected would come in the healing wasn't what God had in mind. Isn't that true for us? So frequently, we have a mental conception, a mental image of what God's going to do. We think we know what God's will is. We think we know what God is going to do. And then God pulls us out. And so we march off in rage and anger. Naaman marched off in rage and anger, and his servant comes up to him and says, Father, if you had been told to do something difficult, if you had been told to slay a giant or a dragon, if you had been told to do something difficult, you would have done it. But instead, you've been asked to do something so very simple. Why don't you do it? And so Naaman, I kind of imagine somewhat, well, I've come all this way, I might as well try. Somewhat, almost sarcastic maybe, I don't know. Naaman goes down to the Jordan River, wades in, and washes 7 times. His skin becomes as pure and as clean and as healthy as a newborn babe's. And then he goes and recognizes that there is a prophet of the Lord in Israel, Elisha, and that the healing came from God. Naaman did what he was told to do. Naaman came looking for magic. Naaman came looking for hocus pocus. Naaman came with an expectation of what would happen, and it didn't happen, and he almost missed a miracle. How many times have you missed a miracle, my friends? Expecting one thing, looking for God to do something, and thinking you know what God is going to do, so much so that you've got blinders on. And you can't see what God is really doing. How frequently have you come for a healing thinking you know what you need to be healed of, when in reality what you're thinking about is getting cured? How frequently have you come to God thinking you know what God's will is, unwilling to listen and to act in faith on what God tells you? That was Naaman's problem. And in rage, he nearly missed the opportunity that God placed before him and Elisha's directive.
No.
After his servant pleaded with him, he did. He acted in faith. And he was healed. He came looking for magic. He walked away with faith. What will you walk away with today? What did you come looking for today? Why are you sitting in those pews today? What did you come to church today looking for? Did you come looking for magic? Did you come looking for friendship? Companionship? Did you come looking for something? Anything? What will you leave with today? Will you leave with faith? Or will you march off in rage? I didn't see what I was looking for. We have placed before us today an opportunity for faith. Not magic. Not hocus pocus. Faith. Grace Snow Kroll wrote another poem. It reminds me of last week's sermon about prayer and silence in prayer. Hear these words. We kneel to pray, we voice our desperate need for quick release and comfort, then arise. Not tarrying a moment there to heed, we answer to our eager, clamoring cries. The answer that will come, though soon or late, if we would only listen, only wait. God is not deaf to any earnest prayer. He hears, he heeds, he answers everyone who gives a burden over to his care and humbly yields and prays, "Thy will be done." God grant us patient grace to wait thy word after our earnest, sincere prayer is heard. Today you are invited to come and to kneel and to pray and to seek faith, the simple grace that brings faith and life anew. I have frequently had people say to me, "Greg, I'm not healed. Does that mean I don't have faith?" Don't ever let anybody tell you that. Don't ever let anybody tell you that the reason why you are not healed is because you don't have faith. My friends, when you receive healing, you receive it by faith. Whether or not you see it, it's real. Now, your physical condition may not be cured, but healing is more than curing. It's being made whole again. Being brought back into relationship with God again. Being brought back into relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ again. Being brought back into wholeness. That's what healing is all about. It brings spiritual, emotional, physical healing. So if you don't see a physical manifestation of curing today, may tomorrow, or next week, next month, or next year, or next decade, or in glory, you may see it, you will see a curing of your physical need. But God offers you healing today. Healing for your need. Healing for your sorrow, your pain, your fear, your illness. Healing for your sins. God offers that to you today. Will you respond in faith? Will Jesus see your faith today? Will you respond in faith and receive the grace that is being offered to you in this gift of healing? The oil is simple. It's simple. And yet it brings with it a wonderful reminder that God is here to heal and to cleanse and to make us whole. I invite you now, this instant, to come to this altar rail to come as you are called, to come and to kneel, and to pray and to wait and to listen for the voice of God, and to receive a bit of oil and the good news that in the name of Jesus you are healed. Come and receive this gift of oil. Come and receive the grace of God in healing today. I don't care what your need is, be it emotional, spiritual, physical, the pain of the loss of a parent or a child, the pain that comes with the physical breakdown of our bodies. I don't care what your need is, what you may need to be healed of. Come and receive wholeness today, my brothers and sisters. Come and in faith, kneel and pray. And like Naaman, rise to go out those doors, having received faith. Don't come looking for magic. There is no magic here. There is God's grace and the faith to receive it. Come to the altar. Come and kneel as you are called, and pray and receive God's grace.